Spirit Radio Podcasts.
It is Saturday Magazine with Jackie, and really looking forward to chatting here now with Father Colum. You know, have you ever heard of Claire Crockett? She's a lovely woman who grew up in Derry. At the very tail end of the Troubles. And if you check out any of her videos on YouTube, you'll see a young woman full of fun and mischief. She had a sparkle. She had just like that mischievous sparkle in her eyes. And that's why I think it's such a surprise to her. It was such a surprise to her family when she told them that she was going to become a nun. So 5 years ago yesterday, she died in an earthquake in Ecuador where she was serving the poor. And she was, her life story is nothing short of amazing. And with me now to remember the extraordinary life of Sister Claire Crockett, I have Father Colum Power. Father, you're very welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you, Jackie.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. I saw the documentary on YouTube. Oh, it's going back a few months now. And I have to say, I really, really found it inspiring. Can you tell, for those of listeners who haven't seen the documentary, you knew her personally. What sort of person was Sister Claire Crockett?
I first met her, I think it was in 99, she would have been 17, and she knew little or nothing about the faith. I had been by that time about two and a half years in Spain with the Home of the Mother community, which she subsequently joined, and I was sent to the airport to escort the people on the bus back to the monastery where we were going to have this retreat. And she was on the bus, and she was even a lively standout personality on the bus going from the airport, the 1.5 hour trip to the monastery where we were going to have the Easter, the Holy Week retreat. But she knew little or nothing about the faith. She had kind of been recruited to fill an empty spot in the pilgrimage, and she just heard Spain, and she thought about the sun and the beach, and she said, yeah, I'll go. So she said afterwards that she knew little or nothing about the faith. Even the word Eucharist was quite unfamiliar to her. Mm-hmm. And she was extraordinarily talented, just on a natural level. I think she's probably one of the most the dynamic and talented personalities I've come across in my life. Just from a natural point of view, the gifts she had in terms of singing, in terms of acting. At that point, she had already begun a kind of show business career from the age of 15. She had a program on Channel 4, the British channel, and then she had been offered a position with Nickelodeon. I think now they reach something like 94 million homes. They wouldn't have been that big at that time, but they were big, and she had obtained a position as a presenter for a program for the youth on Saturday mornings. This is all at the age of 17.
Wow.
And her ambition was to be famous, and it wasn't just an empty dream. It was a serious ambition, because she did have a magnetism and a standout personality, like I say. So that's the Sister Claire, the Claire Crockett that I first knew. Like you just mentioned, she grew up in Derry when things were still very difficult, and there was a roughness and a rawness about her. She wasn't a sentimental type, very direct, with an instinct for the authentic and for truth. So initially her attitude to the ceremonies and things was like, I've been tricked into this, and she would just dive off.
Wow.
But the person who was in charge of the group at one point said to her, it was on Good Friday, Claire, you can't keep doing this. Mm. It's bad manners towards our host. So, you know, just to oblige, she attended the Good Friday ceremony, and when she... In the Good Friday ceremony, we kissed the cross, we venerate the cross, and she received a powerful infusion of grace in that moment.
Wow.
To realize that it was all true, basically.
Wow.
And it completely, you know, swept her away interiorly. So then after that, she had a year-long battle, toing and froing, because she had such talent and she had such so many opportunities. That's kind of... What really impresses me about her whole story, one of the things that impresses me, is that she had come from a difficult background, you know, a lot of alcoholism, a lot of anger, a lot of woundedness, and so on. She was from right next to the Bogside, from Brandywell in Derry, And she herself often gave testimony that part of her childhood was about visiting family members in jail, close family members. And she grew up in all of that. She did study because she was a smart girl, and for her A-levels, she studied hard and she got good grades. So now she has good grades at A-levels, and she has this show business curriculum already. She had a minor part in a movie about Bloody Sunday. And so really she had the world at her feet at the age of 17, 18. And then she has this experience in this monastery in Spain. So, if you like, she had already spread her wings and was able to take flight from this situation she'd grown up in, and the world was at her feet. And then she has this other experience, and she toed and froed, I suppose, for about a year, but it was irresistible, the attraction. And there's one point in her story where she was in a hotel in London, a five-star hotel in Park Lane or somewhere like that. And she had the schedule for the following day where she was going to be with this famous director and that famous actor and dining, and, you know, with the chauffeur was going to pick her up at this time in the morning and so on and so forth. And the tears fell on the page because she realized that she had fulfilled her dream and that it would never make her happy.
Mm, wow.
So she shed a few tears for the death of her worldly dream, and then... and then embraced the God's dream for her and resurrected and acquired a new joy and a new beauty, which she took all the way to... She renounced fame. I remember she said to me one time that fame in its own way is a kind of a thirst for love, a yearning for love, success too, obviously, and money, but also, you know, that longing to be recognized and to be appreciated. And she said, after the Lord touched her heart, that thirst was already satisfied, and the other thirst was quenched, was, you know, just faded into insignificance.
Wow. Yeah, she had a, I think, a very infectious enthusiasm that comes across in the film so well. Where can people watch this documentary on her life? How can they get it so that they can watch it themselves?
Well, that's the funny thing that she said. She said, okay, I'm going to renounce fame, and I'm going to become a famous nun. And for the rest of her life then, from the age of 18 to 33... I mean, she lived in obscurity, you know, she had this huge attraction among people, but the documentary you've just mentioned about her life is called All or Nothing, and it has been seen by, I think, about 1.5 million people all over the world.
That's impressive.
She died, she's hugely popular in the Hispanic world. I'm not just talking about Ecuador, where she died in the earthquake, but also Chile, Colombia, Argentina, all over the place, because she spoke Spanish fluently as well. And she's been really embraced by the Hispanic world. So the video, the documentary, has been viewed by about 1.5 million people since her death in English. And the Spanish version, I think, is upwards of 3 million at this stage.
Wow.
Now, EWTN, yesterday, on the fifth anniversary of her death, broadcast an extended version of the documentary, and I think that's now available on YouTube as well. So it's just Sister Claire Crockett, mm-hmm. All or Nothing on YouTube.
Brilliant. Father Colin Power, thank you so much for coming on today and telling us about Sister Claire Crockett, and I look forward to seeing the extended version, because the one I watched was really good, but I'd love to know more. Thanks for coming on this morning.
You're welcome, Jackie. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. That's Father Colin Power. He is the servant priest of the Home of the Mother, and we thank him so much for talking to us this morning.
Spirit.
My next guest is hosting a live stream concert tomorrow featuring two of Ireland's top vocal ensembles, Ardu and the voice and the choirs of St. Mary's Pro Cathedral. It's going to be amazing. The concert is called Reflexonium. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And Carl Corcoran is with me now to tell us more. How am I doing on the pronunciation, Carl? Have I got it?
Reflexionem.
reflects the onion.
You were close, yes.
I was very close. I was very close.
Pierre Termagin, lovely to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. First of all, Carl, I'm going to play a piece of music to give people a taste of the concert. Tell us just a little bit about the piece before I play it. It's called The Phoenix.
Indeed. This is a song that was inspired and written shortly after the tragedy of 9/11 in New York, where I had spent 20 years of my life. And on my return to Ireland, and shortly before the tragedy, I was severely impacted, as we all were, by the events. And it inspired a song called The Phoenix, which I co-wrote with my lyricist Art McGann. And over the 20 years, it has received various versions and iterations, and this final, and I think certainly the best version of the song is in the form of a choral arrangement made by Kieran Kelly, who is the artistic director of Ardu. And Ardu, the vocal ensemble, will be combining with the Palestrina Choir on Sunday in a performance, a world premiere performance of The Phoenix.
Lovely.
Appropriately enough, on the 20th anniversary of the tragedy.
Wow, wow, lovely, lovely. So we're going to have a listen. This is The Phoenix by Carl Corcoran and Art McGann, and performed by Ardu. Let's have a listen.
Can you hear a heart stop? Listen to the teardrop echoing in each and every land. Pictures in the water, images of slaughter issued by a petrifying, death-defying hand. Hearts are stirred and shaken, friendship will awaken, fellow feeling teeming to the.
Okay, that's just a little taste there. That is beautiful, Carl. I'll keep it down
Thank
low
you.
While we're talking, because it's just absolutely stunning vocals.
Thank you. Thank
yeah.
you. Yes, a magnificent performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we are so proud to have our song dressed in these glorious clothes, and to have a platform like the Music Town Festival, which is ongoing in Dublin over the next 10 days. And this concert is part of that that event. So live streaming tomorrow evening from St. Anne's Church in Dawson Street in Dublin. And I think it's the first step in a journey for the Phoenix, because of the anniversary approaching and because of my association with New York. I have great hopes that we'll be able to bring it to New York. And
wouldn't that be lovely?
Yeah.
That would be absolutely lovely. So if people want to participate and hear the concert, how can they sign up for it?
Sure. The best way to do it is to go to Ardu's website, and that's Ardu Music, ardumusic.com. And they'll have the opportunity there of buying tickets for the performance tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock.
Lovely, lovely. So it's a really simple thing to do, and then everybody can participate.
And
excellent.
Also on the Music Town website, musictown.ie, you'll get all the information on this particular concert and all the other great events that are happening around the city over the next 10 days. So definitely worth a visit.
Absolutely. And it's great, I think, and you know, when we have this time where we can't be together, that we can join in on live streams and things like that. So it's great. So
the resilience of musicians and performers who are determined to maintain the output of great music. And of course, technology is allowing us to do that.
Absolutely.
Despite the obstacles and the difficulties that we're facing.
Absolutely. Carl, thanks so much for coming on this morning and talking to us.
Pleasure.
And well done. Well done. And I hope you get it to New York. That would be a great thing.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye. So the live stream concert is going to take place tomorrow, Sunday, April the 18th at 8 p.m., featuring Ardu and members of the choir of St. Mary's Poe Cathedral. You can go to ardumusic.com or musictown.ie. What a lovely way to spend your evening.
Spirit.
My next guest is an extreme runner, but what he has done over the last 90 days is extreme, even for him. This is crazy stuff. Mark Collin, good morning. How are you this morning?
Morning, Jackie. Thanks for having me on. I'm great this morning.
It's wonderful. First of all, Mark, tell us about the challenge that you have completed. This is amazing kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I'm actually in shock still. I actually won it. So the challenge was run by East of Ireland Marathon Series. It's a low-cost marathon and series in Dublin run by Gary Reinhardt and Frank McDermott. And basically, they ran a last-person-standing challenge. So there was 55 people involved in the challenge, and it started off on the 10th of January. And as you said there, it went on for 12 weeks and 90 days. It started off running 10K to 15K week one and gradually built up until we were running half marathons, and this is running every day. So there was no break on the legs. And the distances went up then. We done 12-hour challenges, which was 7 a.m. start in the morning, 32K. At 1 o'clock, we do 10K and then 32K again at 3 o'clock. There was timed marathons and you name it was put in there right through the event until the day, until the day 90 on the last day.
And Mark, I have to ask you, how is that even humanly possible? Like, how do you sustain that?
Well, very, very tough. Yeah, you know, extremely tough on the legs. Like, I had problems with my calves. I had a problem with my left hip, which I was starting to worry. Hope I didn't get injured, apparently. But it's all experienced ultramarathon runners that were in it. Some really good runners. The second place to me, Frank McDermott, he's running all his life as well. And, you know, all the rest of the girls were amazing. Laura and Shelley, they got down to the final day with us. So there was literally four of us left. But
wow.
it's determination and it's wanting to win, you know.
How many started? It came down to four. How many started at the beginning?
Yeah, there was 55 wow. really good ultra runners in it, and we got down to the last four on day 90. So Gary is the race director. He couldn't get rid of us basically, so we put on a final that day. And the final day was you had to run 7K on the hour every hour until there was one left. So the two girls, they ran until 12 hours and they dropped out. They done amazing.
Wow.
And big shout out to them. It was me and Frank McDermott left in it. And basically he ran 100 miles in 23 hours and I just managed to win it running 104 miles in 24 hours. So it's crazy.
Wow, that is
crazy.
Insane, man. What yeah. drives you? I mean, you must really, really like running.
I enjoy running, yeah. I enjoy getting out there. It's great for anyone starting off, even mental health-wise, you know, what we're going through at the moment, just to get out there. Forget about things for a few hours or maybe even a half an hour. It doesn't matter whether you're walking, running. I love pushing myself to the limits as well and just trying new things. So I'm running the last 13 years for different charities and raising a lot of money. I always try to go more extreme every time. So, like, I broke the record in Ireland doing 33 marathons in 33 days and the list kind of goes on doing crazy stuff. But
I don't even want to think about what's next. I don't even want to think about it. Tell us.
No, I don't either.
Give me some time. Tell us about how people can support your charity. You were doing this for Ronald McDonald House in Crumlin. Tell us about that.
I am, and that's the main thing about it today, and that's why I'm on. Yeah, so basically I decided Ronald McDonald House. Ronald McDonald, I was on to Sharon Keogh, she's the operations manager, and all our team, a big shout out to them. They cater for 20 families per night, and they provide a warm, secure and safe place for families all over Ireland to stay that have really sick children in Crumlin Hospital. So they're an amazing charity there on Crumlin. Their motto is they look after the families while the hospital looks after the sick child, you know. So how you can support it is if they want the link, it's just rmhc.ie/donate, or they can go onto the site. And anyone that donates, if they would, I'd be very grateful if they do. If they do donate, if they could just leave a short message underneath saying for Mark's win or last person standing, just so we can tally up how many donations are coming in from it.
Absolutely.
I'd be just very grateful if anyone gets behind this amazing charity. You know, all the effort that I put in, I just know people are very generous out there, so I know it'll be worth it in the end, you know.
Absolutely. What a great charity to do it for.
Yeah.
Mark, thanks so much. Congratulations on such an amazing accomplishment. And
can I say a shout out to two people?
You bet you can.
Yeah, 2 seconds. Just Thomas Ronan, my physio, and Asics and Kildare Outlet are my sponsors, and just to all the Conlins, the O'Flahertys and the Bournes. thanks very much for that, because they're all my support. Karen Shine, they're all people
you couldn't do without that support, I'm sure.
Yeah, you can't do it. You know, Karen Shine is my best mate. She kept me going through the night, kind of with food and stuff, and then my family. You can't do it without backup like that, you know.
Yeah.
But just a big shout out to everyone, and hopefully they get behind it. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on, Mark. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much for your time. Have a nice day.
You too. You too. So that's Mark Conlon there, the winner of the Last Man Standing by East of Ireland Marathons. Congratulations. And thank you so much for coming on this morning. Guys, get behind him. And it's a charity for a really great cause. You can go to RMHC. That stands for Ronald McDonald House Charity. So rmhc.ie/donate. And make sure you put in for Mark's win. You can put Mark's win, Mark's last person standing win, whatever you want to put in there, just so that they can tally up those donations.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.